Tonight is the night of Asara de Teves. And tomorrow morning, we're going to be saying slichos that are going to describe what Asara de Teves is about. And I'd like to pick up on three themes that come up in the slichos. I would highly encourage every single one of you tomorrow, whether you're in the kollel or whether you're in yeshiva, to learn slichos to say slichos with the English, because I think many of your rabbeim, myself included, don't even understand the slichos without a translation. And in the slichos, what we're going to describe is make reference to the famous description of Chazal that Asar B'Teves, that the walls of Yerushalayim were sieged. But what's interesting is that's mentioned only after two other things that happened during the 8th and the 9th of Teves. Number one, the Paitan says, Umelech Yavan insani lichtoiv das Yavanis. We were forced to translate the Torah into Greek. And the other thing we mention is that Ezra passed away. Ezra's yahrzeit. And somehow Ezra's yahrzeit is a terrible thing. So we have three things. The Paitan only mentions Yerushalayim, which of course, Yerushalayim is bilibeinu, is beleva olam, the destruction of Yerushalayim. Yeah, it's only mentioned as the third thing, and two other things I mentioned before. The translation of Torah into Greek, and the death of Ezra. Now, Maseches Sofrim, the description of the Torah being translated into Greek is described in a very interesting way. Maseches Sofrim Aleph Zayin. Maisa b'chamisha zekeim shekosvu l'talmei ha-melech ha-satari yivanis. Ptolemy forced five zekeim to translate the Torah into Greek. V'ya oisa ha-yoyim kosha li-Yisrael ki yoyim shenasa boi ha-egel. And that day, and that's why Asar B'Teves is such a sad day as well. Not just simply Yerushalayim. We'll see if it's connected. But the Torah's translation into Greek was such an awful day, like the day that we made the golden calf. What does that mean? I know it's not good. But Kiyom Shenasa Bo Egel, the day the golden calf was made. And then the Maseches Sofrim goes on to explain, and it just heightens the question. Because you can't really entirely translate Torah. Kol Tzarka. You got it 98% right. 97% right. We would have been very, very happy with 97 in Gemara in high school. But you didn't get it Kol Tzarka. You don't do it all Kol Tzarka. So what does that mean? Why is it that the death of Ezra is such a tragedy? And why is it that particularly the Torah was translated to Greek, as the day that the eagle was made? Another diuk. Maseches Sofrim says, as the day that the golden calf was made. It doesn't say the day we served the golden calf. It says the day that the golden calf was made. Why not? If we're talking about the golden calf, what was worse was when it was actually served, not when it was made. To answer the above questions, we'll do a Jewish style, and that is, we answer a question with a question. The Chassam Sofer explains a fascinating sheet of the Avudram that will give us, it's not the goal of tonight's shmooze, but will give us for a minute a little bit of a taste of what Asara B'Teves is. The Avudram says that not only could you have Asara B'Teves on Erev Shabbos, and everybody's wondering, what happens Erev Shabbos? When was the last time that happened? I don't remember exactly what I'm supposed to do. When do I take a shower? When? That's for another time. But not only do we have Asara B'Teves, which is the only fast that today falls out on Erev Shabbos, but if it would fall out on Shabbos, you would fast on Shabbos. More than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you push it off. But Asara B'Teves is so chamor, that will be Doche Shabbos. Says the Chassam Sofer in the Drashos. I I saw this quoted by Rav Biederman. I've seen this before, but in Rav Biederman's piece, they even give you the date that the Marim Makom has the date in the drushos that the Chassam Sofer said it. He said, Ches Teves Tuf Kuf Pei Aleph, exactly 200 years ago, exactly Kamat to the day, the Chassam Sofer said this. Zok the Heilige Chassam Sofer. He says, when it comes to Avelus, there's Avelus that's an Avelus of the past. And that's Tisha B'Av. And that's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. But then, when was the Beis HaMikdash really destroyed? When it was destroyed by Titus HaRosh and Nebuchadnezzar, it was already a fait accompli. Asara B'Teves represents the moment in which the ball had begun to roll in the direction of Chorban. And therefore, when we mourn on Tisha B'Av, we're mourning on the past. But as you do on Sfarim HaKadoshim, the day of Asar B'Teves, the day of Purim, every day repeats that historical phenomenon. And therefore, today we're going to either rebuild the Beis HaMikdash or Chas V'Chalila destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And there's one thing that is Docha Shabbos for a fast, and that is a Tainis Chalom. If a person has a dream that there's an imminent disaster that's going to happen, that's Docha Shabbos. Says the Chassam Sofer, right now we are being judged on what's going to be on Tisha B'Av. Right now. And therefore, if it falls out on Shabbos, we're supposed to fast, because the Avelus of Asar B'Teves is not an Avelus of the historical past, but it's right now an Avoda of the present, Zechesh ben HaNefesh of the present. We're either going to build the Beis HaMikdash for Tisha B'Av, or Chas V'Chalila destroy, as Yushalmi's well-known say, says that if a generation that doesn't build the Beis HaMikdash destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's why the Medrash said, Kiyom Shenasa Bo'ega. The Egel was served later on, but the fait accompli began at the moment in which the Egel was made. When the Torah was translated into Greek, what happened was the Torah was forever distorted and Churban crept into our entire existence. Because the Torah HaKadosh gives us one of two options. Torah life is binary. And that is, the Torah HaKadosh says, either in B'chukosai Teleichu, either we're going to toil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but there's one other option. And that other option is not Orthodox light. That other option is in B'chukosai Timosu. Either you're going to toil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, or you're going to despise HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Shelo is Sargim Kol Tzarka. The Torah wasn't translated Kol Tzarka, that wasn't translated in its ideal pristine form, it became that the result would be that Klal Yisrael would reach the place of B'chukosai Timosu. How? Why? How is it that a translation that's not 100% perfect brings us to this point? God forbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect us in B'chukosai Timosu. To understand that is to understand what Talmud Torah is about. I'm sure many of you asked yourself the question, we've touched on this before, if coming to yeshiva was about learning Jewish law and about Jewish life, then what we should have done is styled the daily structure very, very differently. What we should have learned, we should have brought in many, many translations of a Gemara, of many different Gemaras. And you guys could read well in English, and you could fly. And we would make the Gemaras easier, we would take out all the difficult parts of the Gemara, which really have no import in terms of halacha l'maisa. It wouldn't make a difference one way or the other if Bittul works like this, or Bittul works like that, and if Rashi used that word, or the Rambam used that word. But no! Our tradition that goes back to the Gra Zechusa Yoga and Elena, that goes back to the Rishonim, that goes back to Maimed Har Sinai, is that Talmud Torah is not about knowing information about Jewish life, but rather Talmud Torah is all about in b'chukosai teilechu shetiyu amelim b'torah, to toil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That Torah becomes, Torah learning becomes kehem chayenu v'arichmeir, becomes the essence of who we are. And therefore the tragedy, the ultimate tragedy, is the moment in which the precise, unbridled search for truth had been forever removed from us. And that is those who are going to look at the Greek translation of Torah, because it couldn't entirely capture the MS. And the moment in which it no longer captures the MS, God forbid, that's in the Chukaisai Timasu. And the point of what I want to emphasize tonight is everything we are, kihem chayenu v'arech imenu, is that unbridled search for truth. That's what Talmud Torah is all about. And the moment in which we let go of that is the moment in which the world loses its entire compass of what is emes. Because Talmud Torah represents that. And that's why the emphasis is not on information. For sure, we need to be masik shmaitza liba de hilchasa. But that's the reason why we don't simply learn bikiyas. I'm not talking about any style, particular style of iyun, any style. Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Hasidic, Litvish, whatever it might be. But there's one Sara Shava, one common denominator, and that common denominator is in B'chukosai Teilechu Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, the search for unbridled truth. And that's exactly what Ezra's generation represents. Ezra brings us back to Bayesheni. Ezra represents a hear her tshuva of a search for truth, even though the Jews don't have a lot of information. There's such a beautiful description in Nehemiah Perikhes, where Ezra reads for them the Sefer Torah, and Klal Yisrael, who barely knows anything, begins to cry. The moment in which Torah begins to be turned into a bit of information is the antithesis of everything that Ezra teaches. And that represents the downturn which ultimately leads to the Hellenization and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The way we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, when people talk about learning Torah and the importance of Chashivus of Limud HaTorah, what that is not simply about the information of Torah, it's everything that Torah represents. That Chosam Moishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu embodies Emes, and He gave us a moral constitution that is the only thing in the world that is Emes. There are many things that are helpful, many things that are productive, but there's only one thing that is emes, and that is amelus b'Torah. That, Rabosai, is hard for us today. With the death of Ezra, what we have is that search for unbridled truth begins to slowly dissipate. And what ultimately leads to is what we're struggling today. And that is lifestyles that are Jewish, that are Orthodox. But are they truly, truly committed to Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah? Not just, I'm not talking about learning in Kolel per se. I'm talking about something much deeper and much loftier than simply that social phenomenon. I'm talking about a way of life, a way of looking at life. There was a man that I was zocher as a young rabbi to know. And his great-grandson is Baruch Hashem in yeshiva. Mr. Charles Goldner was a unique, unique person. Charles Gibber's great-grandfather. And I was zocher as a young rabbi to know him on the West and the West Side Institutional Synagogue. And his life story, I said here in the yeshiva about 8-9 years ago, and I got his orus that Charles here even carries his grandfather's name, his great-grandfather's name. And I said, I have to say it over again. And when I was thinking about what I want to talk about tonight, and I realized in so many ways his life epitomizes. Now, I don't come to this as a historian, and the family knows better, and historians know better about the story of his life. But I'll just tell you my impression as someone who I had the schus to learn Daf Yomi with. And what an impact it made on me, and what a contrast it is, I think, for so many of us who grew up many years later. Mr. Goldner was from Hungary. And the Nazis came. and they killed his wife and his children. They were all sent to the camps towards the end of the war. After the war, Mr. Goldner had a very unique acumen in business. He went back to Hungary, and he rebuilt a lumber business. He remarried again and had children. And then the communists came in the early 50s. And one night, he gets a knock at his comfortable home. And remember, he was sitting already comfortable in Hungary in 1942, 1943, and then the Nazis came. 7 years later, after he survives the war, after his family's been killed, he comes back to Hungary, rebuilds a business. The communists knock on the door, and they ask him to give him the keys of his factory. All of his business now belongs to the Communist Party. Mr. Goldner was a strong man. And the legend that I heard was that night he signed over the papers, and then he dropped a match in the lumber factory and set it up in flames, not to give them any hana, and came to the United States of America, and he invested in real estate in the United States. And he was a big tomech of our yeshiva and many others. I was zochet to know Mr. Goldner in his 80s. Mr. Goldner would come to shul 20 minutes before Shacharis. The Daf Yomi, he wasn't interested in the art scroll Gemaras and the translations and the quick translations and the easy fixes. For this man, there was no such thing as an easy fix. It's not only Mr. Goldner. These are the people that I grew up with as a child that some of you weren't even zocha to see. And you grew up surrounded mostly by the idea that everything in life is about how do you get to that result as quickly as possible. The whole idea of an unbridled search for MS, it might be hard, it might be painful, and it might take a lot more time. But that's Kiyem Chayenu V'Yarech Yameinu. And when we mourn on Asara B'Tevis, that's what we're mourning. We're mourning that loss of MS in Klal Yisrael. And the Beis HaMikdash is not around. A large reason is for that. I would be embarrassed. Now I do the Daf Yomi with a Schottenstein Gemara. I'd be embarrassed in front of Mr. Goldner. I remember there were some, the younger Chevra would bring in an art scroll translation. I'd be embarrassed. I was the Magid Shir, but he was the Rebbe. Because I saw how his finger moved along on the page. Is our finger really, really, really moving along on the page? Or we're just trying to get the bottom line? And therefore, Rabbi said a takeaway for tonight on Leil Asara B'Teves, Tav Shin Pei Aleph, Genuk Shoyim, Mechsam Seifer screamed this out 200 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's enough already. It's about time that we internalize this. And that is that life is not about getting to a particular goal with easy results. Kiyem Chayenu V'Arech Yameinu means that life is this beautiful process of Bikush HaEmes. And the application for the Talmidim in the Gris Kolo, most of them are in Bidud, Baruch Hashem, the application for the Talmidim in the Gris Kolo is that at the end of the day, it's not enough to simply be learning halacha and always asking yourself, wait a second, is this Rajba halacha lemaisa? Is this connected to halacha lemaisa? Is this connected to halacha? Every once in a while you have to skip something. But what happens if you got to a real stira and you really, really could work on it, but at the end of the day, you know it's not going to be on the bechina, and you know it's not halacha lemaisa. And everything nowadays is about showing off about how much you know halacha lemaisa. You know, I can go on for a moment. When I printed my sefer, so I called up a distributor. I only called up one distributor, and I just gave up. It was such a fascinating experience that I had. I called up the distributor, and there was a little bit of noise in the background. So he said, what's the sefer about? I said, it's on Ksubis and Kedushin, the first 25 dapin. I got stuck. Hopefully it was because of Bikush HaEmes. I got stuck at the first 25 dapin. And on Hilchos Yichud, Hilchos Shev Brachos. He said, call me back in 15 minutes. I call him back. He says, tell me again what you say the sefer was about. So I said, Ksubis, Kedushin, Hilchos Yichud, Hilchos Shev Brachos. He said, oh, okay, I'm not interested. He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, it was a little noisy in the background. When you called the first time, all I heard was Hilchos Yichud, Hilchos Shev Brachos. So he said, then I was interested. But you told me it's also Ksubis and Kedushin. Ksubis and Kedushin. No one's interested in learning Ksubis and Kedushin. Nowadays, all you're interested in is Halacha L'maisa. It's a big Yetzer Hara nowadays. Halacha L'maisa is important. Lasuk Yeshmaitza Libid Hilchos is important. Extremely important. But is there, it has our limud become distorted in trying to get to the bottom line? Or is there, I really want to know why Rashi used this word, why the Rambam used this word. What's the answer to the stira? This Gemara doesn't work with the other Gemara. And the boys in Torah Shraga, it's so much easier to create goals in terms of covering ground. And it's so much harder to get stuck. So much harder. But when you get stuck, that's when you're really made. That's when you show yourself and you show the world that life is not about gaming the system. That life is about searching for truth and coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mr. Goldner Zatzal represented that, and every single one of us could represent that as well. Leil Asara B'Teves is a time for us to finally, 200 years later, internalize the Chasam Sofer's point. Chasam Sofer's point that right now is the time in which we decide whether on Tisha B'Av is going to be a time of Chas V'Chelil Churban or a time of Geula. And that stems from the ability for us to recognize that the Avelus is not the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. The Avelus is that loss of the search for Emes. Siyata D'Shmaya V'Zocha, that on Tisha B'Av we'll be able to look back. Leil Asar B'Teves Tavshin Pei Aleph, that we did something to be Mesakim for ourselves and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you.